Welcome, welcome, welcome to the extra hour today. We're so excited. We'll be talking to you in just a moment about 90 Minutes in Heaven. 90 Minutes in Heaven. And also talking about Nazareth today. We got to understand our Nazareth. Many people die in Nazareth. We'll find out more in just a moment. We'll be joining in just a second. Reached the extra hour on VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me today in the studio is Pat Hamilton. We're looking forward to be speaking to you in just one moment. Give a shout out this morning to Jordan. Good morning, Jordan. Good morning, good morning. Glad to have you in the second hour. Give a shout out to Teresa. Good morning, Teresa. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We'll give a shout out this morning to Jonathan. Good morning, good morning, Jonathan. All right, now, Jonathan. Again, welcome this morning. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. With me in the studio is Pat Hamilton. Good morning. Good morning in the extra hour, Pat.
Good morning.
Oh, I was on the Facebook last night.
Where are you?
Yeah, I got in my office, and I was looking at my Facebook, and the first word that came to mind was, I'm overwhelmed, you know. I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know, such wonderful friends and beautiful babies being born because I hadn't been on it in a while, and oh, my goodness, you know, I got to see Steven's baby. Oh, my goodness,
oh,
beautiful, beautiful baby girl. And Michael, you know, Michael, we'll give a shout out to Michael Barnes up in Atlanta.
Yeah,
yeah, up in Atlanta this morning. We want to be able to just say we enjoy seeing you on Facebook. Of course, that was my personal Facebook. We also have a VFN TV and the Daily VFN Radio program Facebook to be able to keep you informed. So you can go to it at Facebook.com/VFNTV and choose like. And what happens is when the postings go up on that, you'll actually get notifications, such as one notification would be, you know, this week a prophetic word was delivered on VFN Radio about the economy falling in 6 seconds. You know, John Ramos came to the studios and he delivered an awesome prophetic word that the Lord had given. So you guys, you can get that. We would have let you know that it was happening or that it's going to happen, and you can share. You get it now on the highlights, you know, the VFN TV app. Mm-hmm. And soon you're going to be able to get it really soon at VFNTV.com. All the highlights will be there, and you can actually send them to your friends and all. Mm-hmm. But it's just stuff we want to keep you informed what's happening. 90 Minutes in Heaven. Imagine if you're needing to be encouraged. And all of a sudden, because you liked the Facebook, VFN TV's Facebook and VFN Radio's Facebook, that when we put down that 90 Minutes in Heaven will be talked about in the extra hour today, that you can tune in and say, you know what, I'm going to hear it. And the good thing about this as well is that after we do the live broadcast, that it's available all day long because through technology and modern marvels, right?
Right.
That, you know, it will play again for each time zone. So you can go to VFNTV.com and you can click on Listen Now, whether it's your mobile device or whether it is on your computer. Mm-hmm. And or through your application and listen all day long if you miss a piece. I know several of our listeners, I'll give a big shout out to Tracy this morning, you know, that you know, as you're busy and things are happening in your workplace, you kind of catch bits and pieces. So if you listen throughout the day, you're able to catch the whole program throughout. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool how that works. So don't miss that out. Just don't miss that. I guess it's on Facebook. Like us there on Facebook. You can get to our Facebook at vfntv.com, or you can go to VFN or Facebook.com, right?
That's
/VFN VFNTV. Or you can follow us on Twitter at VFNTV1. VFNTV1, and that is the number one. You know, Pat, I mean, when the dentist, your dentist trains you up to be able to you know, how to brush your teeth. You know, this is the way we brush our teeth, you know, right? And so, and they tell you over and over again, they say, you know, you need to use a real soft
brush,
soft toothbrush, you know. And I was always the one that's like, get me, you know, a wire bristle thing. We'll get this thing cleaned up, you know, or whatever. And, you know, a couple of sweeps and it's, oh, just thinking about it, my teeth hurt. And so, and so they're always, you know, telling you, you know, that you got to be very careful how you brush your teeth. And they did, you know, obviously I guess they don't tell us now because they think we got to figure it out by this time of our life. You know, one guy tells me, you know, I take care, good care of my teeth. I put them in a glass every night, you know? And so, you know, with that, then you know, I had a chance to go to the dentist, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to the dentist, the very ones that tell us that we're supposed to use soft, you know, toothbrushes that sometimes are so, it's like, really? Really?
You know, can you feel it?
You feel it? Yeah. You know, and then she leans into my mouth with like metal tools and starts poking at my teeth, scraping, poking. I'm like, this is metal. I have never used metal in my mouth. And you're telling me that you're going to use metal against my tooth and I couldn't use a hard toothbrush? What is this, you know?
Right, right.
And it's just like, oh, my goodness, if we had tools like that. And so I found out, you know, obviously, you know, that they're wanting us to come back so they can take that off instead of us, mm-hmm. so we can actually pay them.
Right, right.
Everybody needs work, right, even your dentist. But I can't believe metal tools, man.
Yeah.
Oh, totally something. Well, I was thinking this morning. And if you missed the first hour, you really got to be able to hear two very important things about. The first is the wisdom for the day. You really got to get the wisdom for today. And you can get that at the highlights. You can go back and listen to this morning's program. Also, understanding that about wallbuilders.com. That, you know, if you're not registered to vote, or you don't know if you're registered to vote, like 33 million Americans think they are, that we're not, mm-hmm. they're not, that you can go to wallbuilders.com, and you can find out if you are. And if you're not, it will take you directly to a place in your community, whatever you are in America, and to your local place to register. And you can register right there online. Just take a few moments, and you can find out. And vote. My goodness, you know, this is a very important election that's coming up, and every one of them is important, actually. Mm. But I was thinking about, do you remember our trip to Israel?
Yes.
You know, I remember that, you know, when we were in Israel, that we stayed with the people pretty much. We didn't stay in hotels and all that, and we were staying in a house in Tiberias. Mm-hmm. And when we were there, we, for some strange reason, we lost 10 pounds, 10 pounds of weight. Yes. They're portions, you know what I'm saying? America's got like, oh, you want 4 gallons of butter and 25 gallons of ice cream, mm-hmm. you know, and you go to Israel's, you know, stores over there and it's like, okay, would you like a tablespoon of butter? And, you know, right, their portions are so much smaller, you know. I guess when you're a smaller country, you got to have smaller portions so you fit.
Yeah.
No, true. I was messing with you. So, then, you know, and I remember the food. You remember the food? It's like, oh, my, you know, you worked all day long. You walked to Mount Ball. You've gone to all these places, you know, and you're just famished. I mean, you're famished as can be. And we came back in, and they said, would you like an extra tomato sandwich? It's like, I want meat. I want meat. You know, remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Remember the pizzeria?
Oh, yeah. We think, oh, pizza. We're like,
this is it.
Yeah,
this
we're right there in the northern border, right? Yeah, right there, up there by Syria, where all these battles are taking place, mm-hmm. now, where you prayed over the borders.
Yes.
And you told the guards that. And we thought the pizza, right? We thought it was going to be good.
Yeah.
But of course, the kosher laws, they don't mix dairy and meat.
Uh-uh.
You're not going to have, in Israel,
yeah.
you know, you're not going to have, you know, pepperoni
no.
on top of cheese.
Or sausage.
Or so, yeah, definitely not sausage, pork. Yeah, right. That's definitely not kosher, right? And right. So, yeah, we got this big pizza, right?
Yep.
Remember that? Yep. Oh, this is, oh my goodness. And they had green olives all over. Green.
Green.
Not black.
Green.
But green olives all over it, you know?
Very bitter.
Oh my goodness. So you're sitting there going, here goes. Your mouth's drooling with all these. And all of a sudden you stick it in your mouth, you're thinking, oh my goodness, another pound. We just lost another pound at that one moment.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
I don't think you've ever left pizza behind, did you? That's the first time you ever left pizza behind.
That was the
behind.
First time, I think.
Yeah. You remember we were sitting down to eat, and some Arab Christians sent us some food over, some bread over. Uh-huh. And they laid it right in the middle of the table. And they cooked this real thin bread. I don't know what they call it. But it looked like skin. It looked like human skin. It was so thin. I'm like, oh my gosh. Not only is it presently not good, it looks like something that's like, oh my goodness, oh my goodness. And so I'm just talking about weight loss plan. You know, if you want to lose weight, mm-hmm. if you want to lose weight, you know, which we need some more time in Israel, don't we? Or at least I do, you know, I guess I need some time in Israel. But I remember, you know, going through that and being able to actually lose weight. It was totally amazing. But remember, we finally came down to, I don't know, it's probably where in Galilee, Galilean experience, you know, yeah. They had a McDonald's was there. Remember the McDonald's? I mean, we were pumped, dude. We were just like, a McDonald's. We're finally going to get a familiar taste. This is going to be good.
Right.
And I was like, I want to, and I don't even eat in America. I don't even eat Big Macs and stuff. I mean, I do every now and then, but then I remember why I don't. And so I actually, we got the Big Mac, mm-hmm. and we sat down outside, you know, and we're thinking, this is it.
Gotta be.
I have no idea what that was between the buns, but it was not meat, and it tasted nothing like a Big Mac. And so I just want to say this morning, if you want to lose weight, if you're wanting to lose 10 pounds, if you want to lose 10 pounds in your life,
10 pounds in 10 days.
Yeah, don't stay in the American hotels over in Israel. Stay amongst the people. I remember eating one time when I was there that I stayed with in a kibbutz with a Russian couple there, mm-hmm. Russian Jews, and that was good. They had like pancakes for breakfast, pancakes for lunch.
Oh,
that was not a weight loss program, and pancakes for supper.
Yeah.
And I thought that wasn't good until you and I went and had skin and olives on pizza and whatever that was.
Chickpeas.
Oh, chickpea. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I got the falafel, right? The falafel. Say the word.
Falafel?
Yeah, I got the. Well, that was pretty good. You know, I'm thinking, oh, this has got to be good, you know. Carving a piece of meat on the street and throwing it in some stuff. And so I took chickpea sauce. And I should have ate it without the chickpea sauce, obviously, but it just, you know, it's got to be good. Everybody's putting chickpea. It's like, you know. And so I took chickpea and I poured it over top of it. And you're like in these little small streetways. And walk. It's not like America where you got like an acre of food. You can like chunk something.
Yeah, right.
There's not trash cans on every corner. And so I'm walking with this big, huge thing I killed with chickpea sauce. Not being able to eat it. You can't just throw it anywhere. And I had to carry that thing all over the place. But it was so wild, I mean. So, but I've had some, you know, when I was there before, you know, I had some great food and some great time with others. And but I just want to encourage you, if you would like to lose 10 pounds today, that if you go to Israel and just eat what they put in front of you, you will probably eat less. You know, no, but they do have some good food over there. Remember, they don't mix meat and cheese. And no, Pat, they're not going to have sausage on things.
No.
Pork, anything, you know.
And
what I'm
no
saying?
Hot sauce.
Yeah. And so we even went to the back door one place, like, could you throw a piece of meat on top of this? But praise God. We made it back. We lived. And, you know, even though we lost the 10 pounds, I just want to give a praise report. We found it.
Yes. Yeah,
we
found it.
So. And we found its friend. And we found its friend. I just want to encourage you, if you have not yet downloaded a VFN TV application on your mobile device, you can do that. You can go to your browser on your mobile device and type in VFNTV.com and follow the steps, or you can search your app store, your Apple App Store for the VFN TV app, or your Android App Store, and you can carry the VFN Radio with you everywhere you go. You know, I'll be sharing probably tomorrow my adventures. I was able to ride my motorcycle, as I shared, and listen to VFN Radio. It's just really cool to be mm-hmm. able to do that. Well, Pat.
Yes.
What's God saying to you? Mm-hmm.
A lot.
I know.
A lot.
I know.
That's so much over these last several weeks and months, really.
Isn't he amazing?
You just got, like you said earlier, abiding is so, so important. And, you know, writing down what he's saying and following it, it's just, it's crucial. I mean, especially when you're working as hard as we do. And, you know, you got to hear from him on a daily basis, on a moment-by-moment basis at times. You know, when things are crumbling and you're like, oh, God, I need your help.
Right.
What's going on?
He's faithful, isn't he?
He is so faithful and just tells you, if you'll listen, right. Pause long enough.
Right.
He tells you.
Right.
You know, it's amazing.
One miracle after another, isn't it?
Just, yes, one after another.
Yeah, just trust God. I encourage you, if you have not yet gotten a simple abiding plan, you can do it at iabide.org. iabide.org. Well, I want to share with you briefly about Don Piper's testimony about 90 Minutes in Heaven. It's a book called 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he's a minister, and he was riding in his car, and he was about to go over a bridge and got into an accident. And when he got in the accident, he died. And the law enforcement showed up, and they took a cover, like a tarp is how they do that, and they covered him up inside the car. And a minister came up and saw him there and crawled up in the car with him and said, well, first he asked him, he said, do you mind if I pray for him? And he said, no. So he climbed up in the car and began to pray for Don. But Don actually left his body immediately, Pat.
Wow.
This is refreshing, isn't it?
Yes.
It's just the thought of actually laying 6 feet under the ground in a box is kind of oof, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Immediately, to be absent from the body is to be present with God. Think about that. And so immediately he was knocked out of his body. Mm-hmm. You think about it. He got in an accident. Immediately he dies. Body dies. He immediately goes to heaven. And as soon as he gets to heaven, as soon as he gets there, he's like on the outskirts of heaven, not walking in yet. Mm-hmm. And it's just so white. It's like an operating room. White, but even whiter, brighter than that. And he said, but it wasn't painful because, you know, especially with you, the brightness is like, oh, you know, I can't see it.
Yeah, right.
But he said it was just so pure and so white and bright and all. And so, and then he saw these people running towards him. And he's thinking, you know, I forget what he's thinking, but he's, you know, obviously they're running towards him. What's going on, you know?
Right, right.
And while they're coming towards him, he can look, and from the far as you can see right and as far as you can see left, from as high as you can see, there was this huge, huge wall. This huge wall, which was the walls of heaven. He could see him, but he's on the outside, you know, mm-hmm. These big gates, these giant walls, as far as you see the right and the left. These people are running to him, and all of a sudden they came up around him. And even though these people didn't know each other, mm-hmm. He knew these people. These are people all throughout his life that had something to do with speaking into his life about God. I mean, even a young friend that he had that a drunk driver had hit and killed, that he even came up to, because he always had an issue. As a kid, he had a huge issue with that. And he couldn't understand why this young man who loved God, you know, would go through a situation and he would be killed like that. And he was one of the ones that greeted him.
Oh, wow.
I mean, like his grandmother was there. I mean, different people that didn't know each other, but they all spoke into his life. And they, even though they were who they were, they were all perfect. You know what I'm saying? They didn't have all these flaws and stuff, you know, like this flaw, like that flaw. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, right. And so, I mean, even his grandmother, you know, and she wasn't bent over anymore. And his friend that was, you know, killed by the drunk driver was, and even he himself, because here he was just mangled up in this car accident. But now here he is perfectly formed, and he's standing there, and it's just so, this encounters are just like, I mean, just I, the way he describes them, so, I mean, his words are limited, as he said, but I could just kind of just, I was, you know, getting into his description that it was just euphoric in a way, the encounter with each individual, you know, and so, And when the one thing he finds out, the very first thing that happens when you get to heaven is that you're greeted by, and think about that. Mm-hmm. Think about that. Everybody that helped and spoke into your life who are there now mm-hmm. will actually greet you when you get there.
Wow. That's awesome.
Isn't it awesome?
That's awesome.
When you think about that, it's just so encouraging because, you know, if you want to see your loved ones, you know, if you have a mother or a father or a brother or a sister or a friend who is a believer and they've already gone on to be with the Lord, you know, whatever how they did that, how that happened, they're there. Think about this. If you make a decision now, mm-hmm. the decision that they made to be able to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, they will greet you when you come to heaven.
Wow.
Is that cool?
That's cool.
And so when you greet, think about this. If you really want to see them again in eternity, mm-hmm. then you just actually make a decision right now. You can go to meetmyfather.org and find out about some of our testimonies, how we met God. And make sure that day that you do die, because it's all appointed once to die, that you will be like Don Piper and immediately be greeted by all those people who spoke into your life. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
And what's so cool about that too, he says, you know, because some people think, well, you know, heaven, you know, especially young people, you know, heaven, you're going to sing all the time and, you know, and there's not, you know, the thing is to, you actually will be part of the greeting parties of people whose lives you spoke into. And so imagine, you know, if you're part of, you know, of ministering to others and helping people reproduce in the context of not only is it about them, but they speak into other people's life, but they teach other people to do that. You may be greeting for eternity people that are coming to heaven, and you're running out there going, oh, my goodness, another one that found God. Isn't that awesome? I'm just so glad to meet you, you know, and then take them to. And that's just so cool that you'll actually be introducing people yourself to them and greeting them when they come to heaven. Isn't that something?
Yeah.
And so, you know, he then talked about, you know, some of the things he talked about. He said, imagine, he said, that there was just thousands and thousands and thousands of people that were in the city that were singing songs. Mm-hmm. Almost every one of them was singing different songs at the same time.
At the same time.
You know, right?
Yeah.
You would think, well, that's kind of noisy.
Yeah.
But he said you could actually understand them. You could actually understand individually each individual song that's being sung. Mm-hmm. And then over the people, and they're all turned towards the throne room, and then over all the people were angels that were hovering over those that are worshiping. And then the angels were so close to each other that the tips of their wings were brushing up against each other, like a whoosh sound. I don't know if you ever heard birds together, and you hear the whoosh, whoosh, mm-hmm. whoosh, whoosh. And so you have all this worship and this whooshing going on, and these sounds, and he says, it said the sound will just permeate your body and travel through your body, and it was the most pleasurable experience that you could imagine. He said it would just literally go through your body. I mean, even the sound, Pat, even the sound of heaven. Think about it. Even the sound of heaven.
Right, right.
And that's why the enemy takes music and tries to twist it, because we're designed to just flow and ebb and flow and music and, mm-hmm. and you know, and so anyway, all of a sudden, he's not there anymore.
All right,
and he's hearing a song being sung. I believe it was "Amazing Grace." Amazing Grace, or you can find out the exact song in 90 Minutes in Heaven. And he realizes that that man, that minister that climbed in that car, was actually had his hand up under the tarp that was praying for him, was singing. And he began to sing the song with him.
Oh, wow.
You know, but yet his body was still broken to pieces.
Uh-huh.
And he had to go through all, so he's back in his body. Mm-hmm. He walks through all this physical healing and, you know, and now, you know, he's somewhat healed, but you're never fully there. Mm-hmm. And he says, but, you know, knowing that that's our destiny as believers, mm-hmm. it makes all this worth it.
Wow.
It makes all this worth it. And so, but he says, you know, as he begins to ponder about heaven, when he begins to think about heaven, and I want you to get this, when he begins to think about heaven, the thing he misses the most wasn't the people that greeted him. It wasn't the purity of the brightness and the whiteness. It wasn't these long, long walls in heaven or these large gates. It wasn't all the people themselves, or it wasn't the angels themselves, he said, but it was the sound of heaven.
Wow.
The sound of heaven. Isn't that something?
Amazing.
The sound of heaven. My goodness. I remember when I was, God had given me a dream, and in this particular dream, I was trying to explain to a friend of mine, and I had like a headset on, and where they have a mic on it, and I was, my hands were free. And I was at the corner of an intersection of the road, mm-hmm. on my feet, you know, and I'm talking to this lady. Her name is Daisy. Yeah. And it's not Tulip, but Daisy. And I'm talking to her, and I'm trying to explain to her about what we're really talking about. Or really, I was trying to explain to her. I had something in my heart I couldn't explain. And then finally, I realized it's about heaven. Mm-hmm. And then I began to, of course, in a song, in a dream, we're just so much better singers than we are, right?
Yeah.
Right? Hopefully, Donna didn't hear me singing. And so in this dream, all of a sudden, I just start singing John Starnes' song, Looking for a City. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Not built with hands. That's what we're doing. We're living for a city not built with human hands, you know, where the streets are paved with gold. And so I just began to sing, you know. It was almost like a Sound of Music moment, you know, right? Isn't that crazy? Dreams, you know, are amazing. But I was so relieved when I was finally able to communicate to her that, listen, it is not about this life. I mean, we're not, if we're living just for this life, Paul says we should be pitied more than anybody else.
Right.
But we're this is like premarital counseling. Listen, if you're a believer, if you know Jesus Christ, if you made him the Lord of your life, don't be fearful of death. I mean, realize to die is gain for us. We're, even the sound of your eternity, you know, in heaven,
right,
is going to be better than you can even imagine. And think about that. And so the enemy will try to defeat you and pressure you and depress you and get you looking at all this brokenness and all this betrayal and all these things that the enemy's trying to stir up and strife and seemingly hopelessness, but it's not. But let me tell you this, that Jesus said that in this life you will have troubles, because cheer up, because I've overcome this life. Mm-hmm. And that's what Don Piper found out, and that's what I'm sharing with you. 90 Minutes in Heaven, you've got to get this book. It will really bless you. 90 Minutes in Heaven will truly bless you. And just remember, just the sound of heaven, he actually missed it. Isn't that cool?
Wow, amazing.
So when you think about that, I want you to begin to meditate, you know, make it a point the rest of this week just to meditate on heaven. Lord, show me heaven. Help me to see what heaven is like, you know, the new Jerusalem. No more tears, no more pain. There's a river flowing from the throne of God, and his trees are on the side of it, and his leaves are for healing for the nations. Isn't that powerful?
Yeah.
And it bears his fruit every single month. You know, and there is no need for a sun because the brightness of God, the brightness of Jesus.
That'd be awesome.
And forever. Mm. And forever. And there's like a huge banquet, a wedding banquet being prepared for those who know him as Lord. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
That is something.
It's going to be cool, isn't it?
It sure is. I can't wait.
I am so excited about it.
I'm ready to go.
I know. Well, looking for a city not built with hands. Let's keep our hopes on things eternal, not on things temporary in this earth. We'll be right back in a moment. You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about it's amazing how many. You would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out, people call a lot of things God, and it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point, but rest assured that, outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Well, you know, you think about, you know, when you get saved, the first thing you want to do is what? You want to know more about Jesus, right?
That's right.
And so you start reading the Bible. You're excited about reading the Bible. And then you think you know, when you want to learn how to read and write and add, you want to go to school, right?
Sure.
You know, and let me tell you about my experience. So I got excited, man. I'm just in love with Jesus. I read the Bible all the way through. It may have been the first book I ever read all the way through. And I'm just pumped. I'm floating, man, you know, on the police, you know, and I'm just excited and just totally, you know. And so then I apply for Bible school. I'm just so committed. You know, I'm like, I filled out this application to be able to go to Bible school, you know, me and Jesus. Yeah. And so I go through all the processes of approval and I walk through the whole traditional cycle, you know, and I make it through references and all this kind of stuff. And I finally go to the pastor's office, you know, I get back there and I sit down. I just share my juvenile in the Lord heart with him about, you know, what I felt like to do. And he was just very encouraging, you know, and he signed my application to go somewhere else to get an education. You know, you think I could have got one there with 1200 people. Anyway, so then I go send my application off. So I'm waiting patiently for my application to come from the Bible school that the whole world is supposed to be talking about. And I get a reply back from them. They tell me, listen, John, are you hearing me? Listen to this.
I'm hearing.
They said I wasn't saved long enough to go to school. I got rejected, man. They wouldn't even let me go to school, man.
Oh, my goodness.
What do you do with that? I'm like, oh, my goodness, you know? And so I'm dealing with this personal rejection that I can't learn about Jesus. I'm not saved enough to know him yet. There's nobody discipling me. I got a reference to go to this place. I guess the school is just not here today, by the way. It didn't last that long. It kind of closed up.
Wow.
Which is kind of good. I don't have it hanging on my wall. But, you know, that's what VFNU is about. You know, Vine Fellowship Network University is that, you know, I can feel your pain. If you're listening right now and you love Jesus, you know, you just want to know more about him. And I want to encourage you to find out more on VFNU.org today that's not how Jesus is. Remember, the Pharisees were amazed that simple fishermen were being used. That they had a deep education and they knew you had to have the Bible memorized to be a Pharisee, you know, and by the age of 40, Paul had it memorized, but they were using simple fishermen. God was using simple fishermen and they just couldn't get it. But just because they couldn't get it didn't mean they didn't have it. They had Jesus, you know what I'm saying, amongst them, and God was moving. So I want to encourage you that God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. If you're feeling called in to know more about Jesus, you know, possibly even called to even, you know, go into the harvest field, you know, be a minister, to be a shepherd, a pastor, maybe even a church plant. You can find out more at vfnu.org. Can you believe that? I mean, I wasn't saved long enough. I mean, what do you do with that, right?
Yeah, right.
What do you do with that? And so, you know, we're here for you. You know what I'm saying? It's not like that. And also I do want to say that where I was planning on going, that they're good people, you know, and we're just doing our best. Mm-hmm. We're doing our best. And we have to trust God with the rest. And God had different plans in store for me.
He sure did.
Right?
Thank God, right?
Yeah. But the I want to say this, that, you know, before we talk about the Nazareth today, you know, everybody's a Nazareth. I want to say, you know, David, King David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, God looked over the face of the earth, Pat, trying to find someone who had a heart after him.
Right.
And they found, he found one man. And his name was David, King David.
Right.
You know, and so he just loved God. You know, he just loved him. He wasn't perfect, and but he, you know, he loved God. And so, you know, when he had God had blessed David and brought him into a place of leadership over God's people. You know, he gets there and he says, "I know why you got me here, because you want me to protect your people." And so with that, because you had King Saul, and then you had King David. So first of all, remember we have a teaching available for you right now called SOS, which is Samuel or Saul. But the progression after SOS is David.
Right.
So God, things pan out and realize that God will lead us. It's interesting, too, that on the news today, they're talking about France is sending out an SOS.
Oh, wow.
To the world, to America. They want America to rescue them. They're sending out an SOS. So I encourage you, if you want to be to understand what's happening in the world, what's happening, how we as God people need to respond, go listen to SOS. SOS, Tell of Two Kings, you know, choosing God's form of leadership over man's form of leadership. It's available to you on the VFNTV app, and I believe it's also available at VFNTV.com. VFNTV.com. You don't even have to be a subscriber, but I do want to say this about David, that, you know, David started realizing, here I am in this wonderful palace, and I want to be able to bring God's presence where I live. King David wanted to have, God's presence in his home. He wanted God to be where he was. He wanted God's glory. He wanted God's glory to be where he was. And so he goes out there, and he gets, you know, some of his best men to say, listen, the ark of God is way out there in a tent. You know, we want to be able to bring, I want God to be with me. And I'm not satisfied anymore with him being out. I want God's presence to be, I want God's glory. And he became desperate for God's glory. So he goes out and gets his best men. They put it on a wooden cart and begin to bring it in the best way they think in their own minds. You know, you know, we often think in our own minds how things need to be done, but God has a proper way that things need to be done. So in that, they're bringing God's presence, the glory, in a way that, in basically, you know, you just can't do this anyway. You know, but he's desperate for it. And all of a sudden, it's sitting on a wooden cart, the Ark of God, where God manifested his presence between the angels, the cherubim on top of it. On top of the Ark was the mercy seat where they would sprinkle the blood. And they're bringing the Ark in, and it hit like a rock or whatever in the road. And all of a sudden, looked like the Ark was going to fall over. And one of his best men reached out to be able to touch it and steady it. And immediately, God strikes him dead. Now, think about it. Now, if you think you're a good man, you know what I'm saying? This is good men.
Yeah.
Good men that think they can do anything they want to do, ever how they want to do it, you know, and you can pay some serious cost for that. You know, God's a holy God, and there's a proper way to be able to do things. So all of a sudden, David becomes fearful of God. He's angry. He's fearful, all these emotions. But one thing he's not wanting, he just says, you know what? I don't want this dangerous presence of God near my home. As a matter of fact, why don't you go stick it in a building up the street? I want to, you know, we'll put it in Obed-Edom's house, right?
Right.
And so, you know, and that's pretty much what the church has done today. You know, that they started getting close to God. They're like Israel looking at the mountain, you know, Moses on the mountain. They're seeing the lightning and the thunder and the voice of God. And they're like, oh, my goodness, you go, Moses, you know. And when God's intention was that everybody would come up on the mountain. And so with that, you know, he said, we'll just leave it up the street. You know, if you're going to go see God, go to the building up the street, right?
Yeah.
And that's kind of how it goes today, right?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. God stays there and we stay here, because if we bring him here, then we got to find out how he does things, and we have to do it his way, right?
Yep.
And if we don't, if we just leave him in the building up the street, you know, then we don't have to worry about it. We don't have to worry about reading the Word of God and finding out that the actual ark of God is carried on the priests of the shoulders, and there is a proper way to be able to bring it in with sacrifice and all the things that takes place, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right.
So you don't even have to abide. Just leave it up the street, right?
Yep.
But this something happened, though. He started looking at Obed-Edom's house. He's looking at the building up the street, and he goes, you know, they got new carpet, great sound systems, all the moose you could ever want. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
PowerPoints, and, you know, they got little nice little jackets, and, mm-hmm. and man, they're blessed. He saw God's presence, God's glory. He realized, you know, that because God's glory was in that building, that, oh, my goodness, they're getting blessed. And he became jealous for God's glory. And I encourage you to get desperate. Mm. You'll be willing to get desperate for God's glory. God wants to dwell with you. I mean, he wants to dwell in your houses. He wants to dwell in your life. It doesn't matter. Yeah, in the buildings, too. I mean, that's Obed-Edom's house. He was fine about moving there. But, you know, why live in utter darkness in your life and only see momentary glimpses of God's glory? Why not just exist and live day to day in the presence and the miracle working power of God and the love of God, right?
That's right.
So all of a sudden, because he saw that, he actually began to say, you know what? I'm going to study up. I got to get, and Obed-Edom understood because he was part of the lineage that carried the things of God. And so he understood how to handle things, and David had to learn how to do it. And so he learned all the processes, and he got out and he began to bring the glory of God into where he lived, right?
Right.
And it was just a powerful thing. And maybe that's you. You know, maybe you thought about, you know, I want God in my marriage. I want God in my family. I want God's presence in my home, my workplace. You know, I want the glory of God to be manifested in my life. But then you started to do it, and you lost some good things, and you lost some good men. And you can't understand it. You couldn't comprehend it because these people were good or these things were good. But maybe you just kind of did it frivolously. Maybe you just didn't, you thought you're doing God a favor. You know,
right.
You know that, you know, that attitude. And so then, but I want to encourage you, it's just understanding that, you know, God wants to dwell with you. And so I encourage you right now, you know, you can go to vfntv.com and subscribe for free subscriber. You actually get Desperate for God's Glory. It's available for you for those that are VFNTV subscribers. It'll be available. Just subscribe today at vfntv.com. VFNTV.com, and you'll find out about this Desperate for God's Glory, that it takes you on a journey of how you can go from knowing where God is and seeing how to bring God's glory into your life, but not only that, but again, to take it to the next level and help other people. And so it's very exciting. It's called Desperate for God's Glory. Desperate for God's Glory. You don't want to miss it. We'll be right back in just a moment. You know, when you think about the church, you know, and what the enemy has done, the mindset, the vocabulary, the first thing that God started doing with us is to recapture the vocabulary again of what God is actually saying. I mean, you can really mess things up by changing the meaning of words. You know, you could just change the meaning of it, and all of a sudden you've got things going in a different direction. And so we had to rediscover, you know, what is the church? And I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on VFM Radio today. Glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now on VFN Radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work at this even come to pass. And, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just just revealing himself to me. And it, no matter what he revealed himself, no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. It just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And, it's just so God, right. God gives you the tools. He gives you, just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And, VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah,
you know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah,
you know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class, I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go to the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to VFNU.org. That's VFNU.org, and you can find out more.
I'm speaking this morning as we're closing in our last quarter hour of the extra hour. Can you believe it's just time flies, isn't it? It's totally amazing how time is flying. But I want to talk to you about Nazareth. You know, Nazareth is a place where Jesus was from. Obviously, he's born in Bethlehem. And if you want to look up later on, it's, you know, Luke chapter 4, verse 14 through 30 talks about Nazareth. But I remember when they were talking about Jesus, you know, it was coming from Nazareth. They said, well, does anything good come from there, right?
Right.
It was obviously known for not good things coming from there. And Jesus, you know, although he was born in Bethlehem, he was raised in Nazareth. And so everybody in Nazareth, you know, he had his mother, you know, Joseph, his father. He had, you know, his brothers and his sisters. He had his neighbors and his coworkers and, you know, people that kind of knew him in his life before he stepped up to what was going on. And so he began to minister. And as he began to minister there, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is on me. Because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoner and recovery of sight to the blind and to release the oppressed and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the favor of the Lord. Then he rolls up the scroll when he's doing this. He gave it back because he was in the synagogue, which he had a habit of doing and going, to the attendant, and he sat down. The eyes of everyone, Pat, everyone in that synagogue was just fastened to him. You know, they were just watching him. And he began saying to them, today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing.
Wow.
All began to speak well of him. They were amazed at his gracious words and that came from his lips. They were just amazed by it. But then they began to think, oh, let me encourage you. Let me encourage you. When God reveals himself to your heart, don't try to figure it out with your head. But they begin to think, and they thought to themselves, isn't this Joseph's son? You know, and they begin to look at things in the natural. And Jesus said to them, surely you will quote the Proverbs, physician, heal yourself. And you think about it, he says, I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his own hometown.
Yeah.
Well, this is Jesus, right?
Yeah.
And he's saying that no, he didn't say some prophets weren't accepted in their hometown. What did he say? No prophets.
No prophets.
No prophets are accepted. He said, I tell you the truth, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. And so the people just begin to get furious with him. And all the people in the synagogue were so furious, and they heard him speak these truths to them. They got up. This is how they responded to Jesus now. This is how they responded to Jesus. They got up. They drove him out of town. No, they didn't put him in a car and drive him to the edge of town. You know what I'm saying? There wasn't a car.
Right.
They actually drove the Son of God. They drove the prophet to the edge of town. They took him to the brow of a hill where the town was built in order to be able to throw him down off the cliff. But, of course, he just said, freeze. No, but he just all of a sudden walked right through him, and he went on out of Nazareth and began to minister in the next town.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to encourage you this morning that, you know, everybody has a Nazareth. You know, everybody has a Nazareth, and Jesus had a Nazareth. The first thing he tells you is that nobody, no prophet is accepted. And a prophet is this, you know, people, when they hear prophet, they think office of prophet. But, you know, think about a prophet is somebody that's speaking God's word. You're just speaking what God says, you know. And if you're speaking in faith, what God has written word is saying, you're speaking, you know, prophetically about God. And so, you know, everybody has a Nazareth. And these are people that maybe knew you before you knew the Lord. They knew you during your transition when you were preparing to be able to serve the Lord, maybe. These are people maybe that are related to you and people that knew you. I knew him since he was in diapers. Mm-hmm. I knew her since he was in diapers. And it's like,
right.
Yes. You know, yeah. What? And then it says, or it's those people that knew you naturally. Maybe you worked with them, you know, mm-hmm. especially if they knew you before, you know, you were a believer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Jesus always was a believer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he believed in himself and the Father for the creation of the earth. But with us, you know,
right.
You know, and so you have those people around you that, you know, that are familiar with you. Mm-hmm. We have a teaching that will be coming up on VFN TV, available for VFN TV subscribers, which are free, called The Fatal Price of Familiarity. And it's the people who become familiar that die. Jesus didn't die because they became familiar with him. Right. Jesus did not run out of miracles because they were familiar with him. They're the ones that just didn't get anything from God because they became familiar with him. And so, you know, what you do your Nazareth, very important how you relate to it, because so many people die in their Nazareth. They just say, this is my call. I'm going to stay with these relatives. You know, I'm going to stay with these people, my friends from old childhood. I want my friends to be saved so bad. I want my biological family to be saved so bad. I'm going to spend the rest of my 70 years, and I'm going to just keep telling them what they refuse to listen. You know, and before you know it, they're just snuffed out. You know, I know Mike Bickle talks about, you know, people last about 5 years. You know, 5 years, and they kind of burn out. Well, I believe they burn out because they stay in Nazareth.
Yeah.
Because if you're constantly in the flow of new, fresh winds of God, if you're constantly on the advancing edge of the kingdom of God, when you find people who love this Jesus that you love, mm-hmm. you love hearing what they have to say and what God's saying to them. You love to see them grow up in God. But if you hang around Nazareth, I don't blame you for being sad. I don't blame you for thinking, you know, what is this? And so I want to encourage you, first of all, you know, that Jesus presented the gospel. You know, he presented the good news to the Nazarenes, and he gave them a chance. He didn't, you know, he didn't, not just because they were familiar, didn't tell them the truth. He told them the truth.
Mm.
But they rejected the truth. Now, he did not change his message. And this is what people do. People that stay in Nazareth, they start thinking about, you know, people that are familiar with them. They start thinking, I just need to make these people happy. If I just, you know, quit preaching about the blood, if I quit preaching about, you know, sin, you know, if I just give them what they want, then they'll just start coming to church. It's like, really? You really want them to come?
Right.
You want them to come to a gathering of they're not even a part of? You know, because how can you actually go to what, you know, if you're not a, the thing about the church is you don't go to it. You are the church. And so nobody can tell you, hey, you can join the church, but they can recognize that you are the church, that you are part of the building material of God. You're building the holy temple of God. And they can just recognize that you are a believer, which it's a whole nother, that probably just rocked your world when I said that. But but all we can do is recognize that you are, God's presence is with you, and you don't join a church. You are the church, and the church kind of gathers together. And so understanding that you deliver the message, and if the audience does not receive it, if your Nazareth audience or anybody else, but you're talking about Nazareth right now, no prophets accepted in his own hometown, don't change your message. Change your audience. What Jesus did immediately, he delivered the very same message. They got nothing from God because their hearts were doubtful. Jesus did very little ministry there in regards to miracles and healings and raising the dead. I mean, it didn't happen there. It wasn't because he wasn't any less Jesus. They just did not have faith that he was Jesus. Therefore, they got what they believed for, nothing.
Right.
Think about it. So many people are they're Nazareth people, they're Nazarenes, and they're looking at, somebody and doubting their ministry, and they say, look, I'm still sick. And it's like, yeah. and I'm not saying that every situation, but I'm just saying that that's what happened there. And he wasn't any less Jesus because the same thing that happened in other cities didn't happen there. It was their familiarity, their fatal price of familiarity with him. And so I want to encourage you that, witness to your loved ones, witness the love of God, live a life as an example before them, but go on, continue to move on to other audiences and don't change your message. The simplicity of the gospel is there's power in the blood of Jesus. There's power in the cross of Jesus. He wants to save. And there's people that want him. There is a people that if you'll tell them what God has done for you, if you'll tell them how much Jesus loves them, that he'll forgive them, if you will pour your heart out to them, they want Jesus. They will want this Jesus whom you love. And those in Nazareth who was actually rejecting him at the time, which some of them was his brothers, I mean, even his mother and brother thought he lost his mind.
Right.
Remember when they came to the house and they're trying to rescue Jesus.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you Nazarites doing here? No, not Nazarites, but Nazarenes doing here. And so with that, but later on, because he went on, this is the best thing for your present thing is going to be your next thing. So go to the next town, preach the same message, and watch and let God do what he does. And these people who are your Nazareth will find out it's actually them not getting, because of their familiarity, what God wanted to give them. And maybe like Jesus' brothers, they came up and they joined him. Mary joined him eventually. You see what I'm saying? And so I just want to encourage you that don't die in your Nazareth. Don't sit there and think, I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to convince these people. Like, how can you do that? They have to make a decision. It's not that complicated.
Right.
It's either yes or no, and then just live a life before them. But go outside those walls. Go outside your natural family. Go outside your coworkers who maybe you've witnessed to and they're not, and you've been frustrated about it, and your family's so tired of hearing you talk about those people who said no to Jesus. Like, come on. Don't switch your message now. Switch your audience and go to the next town. So I want to encourage you that even Jesus had a Nazareth. He was from Nazareth. And how he handled it, he delivered the very same message he delivered everywhere else, where others were raised from the dead and healed and delivered and set free and became his followers. He just moved on to the next town. They wanted him to stay even in those towns. And he said, listen, I'll be about the Father's business. And the Father's business is going to the next ones and letting them know that God loves them and God's got his plan for life. Can you believe that we're coming to the close right now of the end of the second hour, or the extra hour? Oh, my goodness. Right. God bless you. I pray that you have an awesome, awesome day. Join us tomorrow at 9 a.m. live on VFN Radio. And you can catch all day long at VFNTV.com or on your VFN TV app. God bless, and we will see you tomorrow.